When it comes to language learning, grammar gets all the attention. Most of the theories of second language acquisition are primarily focused on how we acquire syntax, the way we put words together to form sentences. Vocabulary, in contrast, has historically been outside of the spotlight. This is unfortunate. Research has shown that vocabulary knowledge has the greatest effect on comprehension, and perhaps the major difficulty students have in learning a new language is the sheer volume of new words. Given this importance, I was pleased to encounter Stuart Webb and Paul Nation's How Vocabulary is Learned, a research-based look at how to deal with one of the central difficulties in becoming fluent. How many words do you need to know? The first step in any journey is figuring out how far you are from your destination. So how many words do you need to learn in order to be fluent in another language? Right away, however, this question runs into difficulties. How do you count the words? One way would simply to be counting every single distinct spelling of a word you encounter in a set of texts. Except this approach drastically overcounts the number of words there are. It would include regional spelling differences, such as color in the US and color with a U in the UK and Canada, as well as numerous grammatical inflections that are almost certainly not stored in the brain as separate words. For instance, difficult, difficulty, difficulties. Instead, researchers usually prefer to count word families, distinct words along with their related inflections, orthographic variations, and derivations. So how many word families do you need to know? Here we can take advantage of a well-known empirical finding known as Zipf's law. This law states that a word's frequency is proportional to the inverse of its rank. The frequency of seeing the second most common word would be roughly proportional to 1/2 times a constant. In contrast, the frequency of encountering the 10,000th most common word would be roughly equal to 1 divided by 10,000 times the same constant. The first 1,000 word families in English, for instance, account for roughly 85% of the words that you encounter. Words like baby, cake, dad. The next 1,000 account for only 4.3%. Words like background and accent. By the time you get to the 20th batch of 1,000 words, they make up less than 1/100th of 1% of the words available. Words like abeya and chiastic. Knowing just the first 2,000 word families, for instance, would cover roughly 80 to 90% of most novels, newspapers, conversations, television shows, and academic lectures. The upside of this finding is that it means you can quickly get to the point where you know most of the words being discussed. The downside is that often low frequency words are essential for getting the meaning of what is being said. Native English speakers tend to know between 15,000 and 20,000 word families, which means that there are a lot of words to learn. Since those words occur increasingly infrequently, the amount of exposure needed to properly learn them all can be staggering. What then should a practically minded language learner focus on? Webb and Nation suggest two goals that might be important. First, knowing 3,000 word families would allow learners to understand 98% of the words in most graded reading materials, as well as 95% of the vocabulary used in spoken discourse. Since 95% word knowledge is often considered a threshold for understanding, this is a good beginner goal. Second, knowing 9,000 word families, which includes both low and mid-frequency words, equates to sufficient vocabulary knowledge to understand speech and writing, so differentiating between words before and after this point is useful. So how should you learn words? The power of extensive exposure. When it comes to our native languages, researchers already have a pretty good idea of how we learn words, and it's not through studying vocabulary lists. In a celebrated series of papers, William Nagy, Richard Anderson, and Patricia Herman found that students add as many as 10 new words to their vocabulary per day for several years. Maintaining such a pace with explicit teaching would be next to impossible, and yet native speakers not only learn this many words, they integrate them seamlessly into their actual language use. Obviously, the process of learning words in one's native language is not like memorizing a definition from the dictionary. It's not as if native speakers were assigned 10 words every day to memorize. Instead, the extensive exposure to the linguistic environment steadily accretes knowledge of word meanings, so that averaged out over long periods of time, it results in roughly 10 new words per day. This shows that extensive exposure to an immersive linguistic environment is sufficient for vocabulary growth. However, native speakers also have tens of thousands of hours of meaningful language input and use, far more than most people can achieve studying a foreign language. Should you use flashcards to learn vocabulary? Extensive exposure is sufficient for vocabulary learning, but given the huge quantity of native speaking time, it's not clear that exclusively relying on such approaches are optimal for the typical language student. Flashcards offer a quick and effective way to acquire a large amount of vocabulary, especially when the meanings of words can be readily paired off with their counterpart in one's native language. Spaced repetition systems like Anki also afford the opportunity to store large libraries of cards and allow reviews to be queued so that study words won't be forgotten. However, flashcards for single words also have their disadvantages. Learning a word in isolation can make it hard to learn its connotations or presence in particular contexts. Cards that focus on a word family may also omit some of the possible grammatical modifications of the word and their meanings. Cautioning about the exclusive reliance of flashcards, Web and Nation write, "It is important to remember that learning with flashcards is only one step in the vocabulary learning process. Flashcards should be supplemented with plenty of meaning-focused input that includes the target words to provide models for how these words are used, and meaning-focused output that provides opportunities to use them." Other advice for learning words. Web and Nation reviews some other advice for learning vocabulary in their excellent book. 1. Confusing words should be taught on separate days. In contrast, teachers typically cluster words by categories, so for instance, learning all the days of the week, colors, or occupations at the same time. Research indicates this may be unwise, with students showing greater interference when the same items with similar meanings are taught on the same sessions. 2. Graded readers can help accelerate implicit learning. We need a high degree of comprehension, between 95 and 98% of words known, in order to be able to successfully guess the meaning of new words in their context. This is difficult to achieve with native level materials for beginners. Graded readers, which deliberately limit themselves to small vocabulary sizes, can be beneficial here since they avoid some of the weaknesses of flashcard or vocabulary list learning in isolation. 3. The rate of vocabulary acquisition depends on student enthusiasm and aptitude. Web and Nation suggests that 400 word families might be acquired per year for a dedicated student, including the time needed to expose oneself to the word in various contexts. For narrower word learning, such as from flashcards, more words can potentially be covered. Finally, learners should spend time on all four strands of language learning. Those include meaning-focused input. This means conversation, books, film, and television that you attend to primarily to understand what's being said. Input provides the raw data for new words and enriches the contextual associations of words studied deliberately elsewhere. Meaning-focused output. Speaking and writing a particular word form is more difficult than simply understanding it from input, as this requires a more precise knowledge of the word and its meaning. Language-focused learning. This is the deliberate act of memorizing words, studying them in flashcards, or receiving explanations about what they mean. Web and Nation argue that this should account for roughly 25% of the time spent learning a language in total. And finally, fluency development. Attention should not only be paid to activities that introduce new words, but those that speed up the understanding and production of words already known. Familiar materials that enable quick reading, as well as conversations on familiar topics, may not be critical for building new vocabulary, but they help reinforce what was learned previously. What about you? What are your strategies for learning vocabulary in a new language? Share your thoughts in the comments below. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you'd like to get 5 of my audiobooks for free, just go to scotthyoung.com/podcast.